from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
The president takes a stand for life at the National Prayer Breakfast and at the State of the Union. That's coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. On Monday night, Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska introduced the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Unlike the 2002 Born Alive Infant Protection Act signed into law by President George W. Bush, which was more like a resolution without any prosecutorial power, Sasse's new bill has some teeth to it. It states that, quote, an individual who violates the provisions is subject to a criminal fine up to 5 years in prison or both, and an individual who commits an overt act that kills a child born alive is subject to criminal prosecution for murder. On Wednesday, Washington Watch President Tony Perkins talked with Senator Steve Daines about it. Senator Daines of Montana was not only in the Senate on Monday, but also spoke eloquently from the floor about why America should definitively outlaw infanticide and prosecute those guilty of it. That explains why he's the perfect one to serve as chairman of the U.S. Senate Pro-Life Caucus. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Senator Daines, welcome to Washington Watch.
Glad to be with you, Tony.
Well, Steve, first, let me just say thank you for your bold stand for the unborn and for being a part of working with Senator Lankford and others to actually form this new caucus that's going to be there in the Senate speaking out for the unborn.
Well, it came to a great surprise to me, Tony, when I joined the U.S. Senate that there was not a pro-life caucus. The House has had one for years. So we launched the Pro-Life Caucus. We made this announcement at the March for Life a couple of weeks ago. And already, and one of the first things we did is we wrote a letter to the president. We asked the president to ensure that he would stop or veto any legislation that would come out of the House. We're very concerned about Nancy Pelosi and what she is up to over on the House side. To ensure that he would stop any legislation that would strip any of the protections we've fought for years, whether hide protections, Mexico City, and so forth. I had 48 of my colleagues join me, so 49 U.S. senators join me in that letter. And the best news of all, the president responded back and says, I'll stand with you in stopping anything coming out of Nancy Pelosi that would strip pro-life protections.
Yes, he made that announcement at the March for Life when he spoke, the message that he had for the march, and making that very clear, in fact, the letter he sent to Nancy Pelosi. So thank you for taking that that leadership role. I want to play a clip from Senator Murray, Patty Murray from Washington State. When this bill was introduced, asking your colleague Ben Sasse asked for unanimous consent to move on to this bill. This is what Patty Murray had to say.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
Senator Daines, your response.
Tony, there were two words that came to mind as I watched this unfold, and really we've seen three chapters of this already. One was with Governor Cuomo in New York. The second was Governor Northam in Virginia, and now Senator Patty Murray. The words chilling come to mind, and the words evil. The thought that a state or anywhere in this nation would allow abortion to the point of birth, but now, seconds after birth, with a botched abortion, the thought that they would not protect that life, that's a line that's been crossed, Tony, for the first time in this country, and to have elected officials standing up and defending that is absolutely evil. And I can't think of another word, Tony, to describe it than that.
You know, Senator, it is, to me, abundantly clear that there is such a sharp contrast between the two parties on this. Since the 2016 cycle and the Democratic Party platform clearly articulating this full-on support for abortion, unrestricted, and the desire to make taxpayers fund it. And, of course, the Republicans on the other side taking a very strong pro-life position. And we saw it last night on the in the chamber when the president – in fact, I've got a clip of the president. This had to just encourage you, given what had taken place on Monday in the Senate, for having the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, make this statement. Let's listen to the president last night talking about this issue of life.
There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb. Let us work together to build a culture that cherishes innocent life. And let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
Senator Daines, describe that moment there in the House chamber when the president, he did not pull back at all. What was it like?
Well, I think about great moments I've had in public service, those moments you'll never, ever forget. Tony, that is and will be one of those moments. I was sitting next to our newly elected senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, who, of course, beat Claire McCaskill. Next to Josh was Cory Gardner of Colorado. And next to Cory was my dear friend James Lankford of Oklahoma. So it's just the four of us there in that moment, surrounded by some of my Republican colleagues, strong pro-life leaders, Marsha Blackburn right behind me, who was just elected in Tennessee. That's a defining moment. And you could hear it. In fact, as I listened to the clip again, Tony, I got chills when you heard this visceral response of joy from the pro-life leaders in the United States Senate and the House. And the chilling moment, though, as we stood to our feet and cheered this president, and I would argue that was one of the great pro-life moments we've had in the State of the Union address. Perhaps, Tony, I'm not sure you have to go back and replay clips, but I would challenge anybody to find a greater moment of putting down a marker on behalf of the unborn than that moment. And we rose to our feet and we cheered. But as we looked across the chamber, and we saw that our Democratic colleagues there sitting on their hands and scowling. Tony, if that's not a clear demarcation here, a moment of moral clarity of what is evil and what is good, then I don't know what is.
I could not agree with you more, Senator Daines, because I think it is a defining moment. First off, I think one thing about the president, and I've talked about this multiple times, is that the president, going all the way back to the third and final presidential debate, when he describes these things, he doesn't do it in talking points that his staff hands to him. These are his words. I was in a meeting Monday night at the White House with the president, vice president, and some others. One of the first things he talked about when he came into the room was what happened in Virginia in his own terms. He gets this. So I do agree with you. One of probably the most articulate, passionate defenses of the unborn. But you're also right. In the defining moment of where our Congress is, this dividing line, and I would argue this point, that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle who sat on their hands are not in step with the vast majority of Americans, because only about 13% support this type of procedure that they're defending.
Tony, I couldn't agree more. And I guess you look at what good will come out of this incredible positions we've seen the two governors take in New York and Virginia. We've seen the position that Patty Murray and, frankly, the rest of her colleagues on the U.S. Senate on the Democratic side. The good that comes out of this is it brings into light now what we knew beforehand. As you mentioned, it was in the Democrats' platform. And when President Trump debated Hillary Clinton, they kind of had to weave and bob around at the time. This is now all out in the open. And you think about those suburban moms that in this last election tended to vote on the Democratic side. Those suburban moms who are thinking about their children, who are thinking about the safety and security of their families, when they're presented with this very, very stark contrast on the issue of abortion, I think, frankly, This helps the pro-life cause. This brings perhaps some moms and dads out there and young people that perhaps have not thought through this entirely. And now there's, again, this moment of moral clarity where this should not even be a debatable item. As you mentioned, whether it's 13%, some small number, this bodes well for us long-term here to continue to win the hearts and minds of the American people.
Well said, Senator Steve Daines. I hope the pro-life caucus, the pro-life caucus is off to a good start, and I think the president put some wind in your sails.
He sure did.
All right, Senator, thanks so much for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thanks, Tony.
You can find out more about Steve Daines as well as Senator Ben Sasse's bill when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. Your financial help is critical this time of year, and you can make the difference. That website, once more, is tonyperkins.com.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday, just 2 days after the State of the Union, President Trump participated in the National Prayer Breakfast. Here's Tony Perkins with his analysis of the event, as well as reactions from a few of our listeners.
Today was the National Prayer Breakfast, the 67th annual prayer breakfast. The last 12 presidents have all taken time to speak at this important event. You know, President Trump, unpacking some of the things he talked about in the State of the Union address. I mean, the two being so close together, I anticipated it. This was part of the discussion in the White House on Monday as we were discussing with the president, vice president, his team, the State of the Union address. I figured they would expound on some of these ideas. He talked about the First Step Act and the power of faith and redemption. But he was, as he always is, he's bold. I mean, I don't know that there's ever been someone in that office that had the courage to say some of the things that need to be said. Now, I know we live in a different time, but when you have a situation where we're literally on the borderline of infanticide in this country, I mean, killing babies who are born alive. Now, I know we hear about this stuff so much, we sometimes just allow it to go in one ear and out the other and think, yeah, abortion, abortion, abortion. No, this is a new level. Abortion is horrible, okay? Don't get me wrong. I got that. But we're talking about now babies being born that survive an abortion and these late-term abortions that is borderline infanticide. So many politicians don't want to talk about this. They don't want to deal with these issues because it's controversial. That's why a lot of these issues end up in the courts, because politicians don't have the courage to address them. And then they bemoan the fact that you got the courts deciding these issues. It's because they don't have the courage to do what they should do. This president is an exception to that. He had this to say. He again reiterated his view of life. And by the way, most were on their feet when he said this. Let's play clip number 9 when the president once again talked about the sanctity of human life. Listen closely to these words.
As part of our commitment to building a just and loving society, we must build a culture that cherishes the dignity and sanctity of innocent human life. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God. Every life is sacred, and every soul is a precious gift from heaven. As the Lord says in Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart."
That was the President of the United States today, again, it really expounding upon what he said in the State of the Union, quoting from Jeremiah. And again, the response was overwhelming. It was an extended ovation, people on their feet. Now, there were a few that did not. Nancy Pelosi did not stand up, but the vast majority in the room did. It's refreshing because we have a leader who's willing to lead and say tough things. And people are responding. We talked about the polling on this late-term abortion. Only 13% of the Americans' population support what New York did, what Virginia attempted to do. This is an issue, and I think this is why the Republicans are going to continue to press this, and they should. I'm going to keep reminding you. In fact, we've got a video. You can probably see it on our Facebook page of that moment in the House chamber on Tuesday night when the president spoke about this, and half the chamber they were on their feet applauding the president for taking the bold stand, while the other half sat on their hands. This is a moment, folks. I was talking with some pastors today that I brought in town to meet with some cabinet officials, just to pray with them. And we were discussing that moment again today. The president did it again today, but it was most profound at the State of the Union address, because the president really, in some ways, was kind of like, similar to the choice that Moses put before the people. Choose life and a blessing, or choose death and a curse. And if you think about it, that's really what this choice is about. It's about choosing not just the sanctity of life, but the understanding the value of life and keeping us from going over the edge into a society and a culture that will tolerate infanticide. And then you have that choice, or you have the choice of a culture of death, despair, and destruction. And I think it's being made so clear, so clear. So anyway, I want to know what you think. Are you encouraged that we have a president that is so bold that even when it's politically, this is politically popular, but not the way he does it. It's most politicians just sidestep these issues. But I think he's being rewarded with the support because he's willing to lead. I think people are hungry for courage. That is, I think, what we lack the most, not just in our political class. I think it's lacking in boardrooms across America. We have CEOs that are chickens. And I'm not talking about producing chickens. They are chickens. They're afraid to stand up to the left in this radical agenda that they don't believe in, but they're chickens. And you see the same thing in our political class. But finally, you've got a politician. You've got a leader who's willing to stand up and lead. Also, I want to play another clip. Andrew Brunson was in town. I've been been with him yesterday and today. And the president kind of gave him a shout out. Let's listen to the president talking about international religious freedom. Let's play clip number 8.
My administration is also continuing to fight for American hostages who have been imprisoned overseas for their religious beliefs. Last October, we reached an agreement with Turkey to release Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is now free and joins us here this morning. He was there for a long time before I got there, and I said, you got to let him out. You better let him out. And they let you out.
And they let him out. The president, best when he's working off the script, just talking. President also talking about this was another area where he weighed in that was let me just say this, bold, in that he talked about this issue of when he talked about religious freedom, he talked about it in the international context, but he also brought it home. And he told the story of a couple that had an adoption that adopted a baby, and then he went on to say that, well, that adoption agency isn't there anymore. The Catholic adoption agency, they were forced out of business because of their faith. Listen to what the president had to say about that. Clip number 6.
We will always protect our country's long and proud tradition of faith-based adoption. My administration is working to ensure that faith-based adoption agencies are able to help vulnerable children find their forever families while following their deeply held beliefs.
The president there weighing into an issue that Congress has not dealt with. They've tried. The Republicans trying to put forward a measure, we've talked about that, protecting these faith-based adoption agencies, but they don't want to deal with it. But the president, again, weighing in on it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go first to Kansas, where Mary is on the line. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was going to say that President Trump, on his State of the Union address, I never watch TV because I can't see, but I sit out there and I listen to him, and I clapped, even in my own home, because he's a man standing up. And Nancy Pelosi is so hatred of him that she'd rather see a million babies die than to give an inch to help save the United States. So what I've been doing, I may be from Kansas, but I've been calling all the states and talking to the senators or leaving a message or something saying, by President Trump, get rid of the 60 votes in the Senate so we can stop the Democrat from causing problems there. So get rid of it so we can get some more laws passed that's going to help the United States build up with President Trump, not be torn down. So I hope that will do some good. If it does, I ask other people to do it too. Thank you, and God bless you, and thank you, Tony.
All right, Mary, thanks so much for listening and calling. And let's go on down to Mississippi, where Jim is on the line. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, I kind of cringe to think where we would be if we didn't have Trump right now. Even if we had a wet noodle spine Republican, I don't think that would be anywhere sufficient to stand up against the Democrats. Sanctuary states, I think the Republicans are failing to put them in check. They are the ones that are producing the Maxine Waters and the Nancy Pelosi's. And sanctuary states, that's treasonous. They're importing illegal voters, and they're not playing, by the rules. And it's not being checked.
On your point, Jim, I agree with this notion that Donald Trump, I mean, he's a fighter. He's willing to stand up, and I'm not sure that anybody else. I don't think there's anybody else that would stand up like he has. And I think his courage to stand up on these issues, whether it's national security, the border security, whether it's the sanctity of human life, whatever it is. Now, he's not perfect by any means, but he's willing to fight for the things that he said he was going to do. None of the stuff that he's doing, he did not are not things that he did not bring up in the campaign. So all of these things are not new. They're things that he said he was going to do. He's fighting for them. He's doing them. And I think people respect that. It's refreshing. And I think that's why his polling numbers remain as they are. He's not losing ground. because people respect what he's doing, and it's refreshing. Jim, thanks so much for the call. Let's try to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Jesse in Arkansas. Jesse, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you today?
I'm quite well. How are you?
Man, I'm enjoying life. You know, I'm glad we have a president that will stand up, but bottom line to all of it, the Democrats is taking so much money from Planned Parenthood, they could not set up and cheer or anything against the infanticide. And, you know, it's just a sad country when people want more money than they care about people's lives. And I don't believe it. And I pray for them.
Well, keep praying. Don't stop praying, Jesse. There is that connection with the money, and in fact, we talked about that with the governor of Virginia. I think it was number two or number three in terms of the donors, in terms of their volume, was Planned Parenthood to him. So, is there any reason that he would not do what he's doing? There is a connection. All right, one more call here. Let's get to Joe in Texas. Very quickly, Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It occurred to me, as you said, that we lack the courage, and the courage is always going to be fueled by what we care about. If our kids were in danger, courage would rise up because we love them so much. I think we lack the love for God and our neighbor to take action, and that's where we need the courage. It comes from the love, and here in Texas, Tony, we had a 16-year-old boy who asked our governor to abolish abortion for his Make-A-Wish Foundation before he died of cancer. His name was Jeremiah Thomas, and we just presented our governor over 70,000 petitions this week called Jeremiah's Wish, and we're really, really praying for some courage in Texas to get some leaders on board with HB 896 to abolish abortion in Texas.
We'll follow up on that, Joe, and look into it. Joe, thanks so much for calling, and I think you're spot on. I think if we have a love and a reverence for God, we won't have a fear of man. And it does come down to that lack of reverence and love for God who's given us so much. And I guess it's about all of us going back to the very core of who we are as believers and that relationship and the fact that God has given so much through His Son, forgiving us of our sins. As we love Him, as we revere Him, we'll fear no man.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.